Real style is about much more than fashion. Real style starts with being comfortable in your own skin. Let's take a journey inside style with your host, style expert, George Worrell.
Welcome to Inside Style, DCRadio.gov 96.3 HD4. I'm your host, George Worrell, and welcome to another episode. Today, we have the pleasure of speaking with Ms. Traquel Butler-Moore. Traquel, welcome to Inside Style. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
And as usual, you look fabulous.
Thank you.
Oh my God, we have so much to talk about. And I want you to educate me and our listeners about your feel of being, you know, the real estate queen and the real estate chick. I love that. And it's like, you know, so let's expound on that. So I know you've been doing this for about 19 years.
Yes.
And so how did you start? What was the motivation for you to get into your field?
My background is actually organizational development. I worked in the district government for many years and the federal government for many years. And I've always had a keen interest in fashion, and fashion kind of coincides with, you know, home fashion and home design and such. And I would always go into model homes and, you know, and I was known in my family for having, you know, a fabulous home that I kind of modeled from seeing and visiting model homes. And so I was selling my house in Fort Washington, and I had some issues with the realtor, and I thought, you know what? This is so easy. Like, why am I having these challenges with this realtor? And so my fiance at the time said to me, he said, well, you really like real estate, you know, why don't you consider it? And I thought, maybe. And so I gave it a lot of thought, and I said, okay, I'll just take the class and get licensed and see what happens. And so I took the class while working full time on weekends for about a month. And I was sought after by so many brokerages because of my background. And I thought, okay, because, you know, once you're licensed and you get all these calls and such from brokerages for you to join. And I thought, well, why am I being so heavily recruited? And so I decided to go ahead and hang my license with WCA and Miller up in Chevy Chase at the time. And it just kind of, I was rookie of the year first year in. And it just kind of flew off from there.
So it was instinct. So it was something
innate. It was something that was innate, that was just, you know, I think obviously my grandmother would always say, you're a talented 10th. You can do anything. And, you know, just from my personality as a kid, delving into things and mastering it and such, and professionally. And so getting into real estate was, you know, just a part of who I am, you know, things that are, you know, nice and well,
Yeah.
It just kind of happened and flowed.
So, so when I see you, so when I think, if you're selling me something, you are giving the glamour and the aesthetic that this is what you want and this is what you can be and have it at home.
Absolutely.
You know, so it's that whole piece of living well, dressing well, driving well, eating well,
right?
All of those things
kind of all fit flows together. Together in sync. And it just was a part of me that I didn't know was evolving. And so getting into it, it just blossomed from there.
So what was, so you said the recruiters were saying about your background, what from your background being in the federal and district government was an additive?
Public service provider. Okay. Because that's what real estate is. It's actually serving the public from a perspective of, you know, and effectively serving the public. And the roles I were in, being in training and development, was developing, convincing people, help, you know, being involved in people work, in essence. And it was a competency that is one of the strongest involved in real estate. And it kind of just meshed, and it, it was attractive to people because someone who worked in public service in an administrative level, who was frontline with people, was an ideal person to be frontline with people in the real estate business. And sure enough, it was a good fit because my first year in with no experience, I was rookie of the year in a very tough market in the Bethesda Chevy Chase area.
And so I'm as a person who has purchasing a home, what are we looking for when we go for that realtor, when we are choosing that person? And why are so many people choosing you? Give us that kind of...
What you're looking for when you're looking for a realtor, just as if you were seeking someone for any role that is going to be impactful for you, you are looking for someone who is going to care about what is in your best interest. Mm-hmm. And my client, my business is 99% referral because my clients are happy and they're happy because of the quality of service I provide. Mm-hmm. I'm very much client oriented. Mm-hmm. A lot of realtors are home oriented or not focused on the client. Mm-hmm. I can find you a home. Homes are always going to be there. My focus is on the client, the client's needs. Mm-hmm. And the clients obviously have a keen appreciation for that because of my referral base. Right. So what I suggest to buyers is when you're looking for a realtor, you need to find someone obviously with strong referrals. Because buying a house is not buying a pair of slacks or a blouse. You can't take it back. It's yours forever or until, you know, life changes. Mm-hmm. And so it's important that that special someone is someone who is going to look out for your best interest all the way around in the whole spectrum. Mm-hmm. And my reputation speaks for itself. Self. And mm-hmm. so I suggest to people, look at that person's referrals, just as you would if you're choosing a doctor or if mm-hmm. you're choosing someone to represent you in any professional way. You want to make certain that that person has a background that is going to work out in your best interest.
I was watching something on the morning show this morning, and they were talking about renting as opposed to buying, and that some people are choosing to rent as opposed to buy. I always grew up that it was better to buy and have that, you know, cushion from your house or just, you know, as opposed to buying and you don't get anything out of it. What are your thoughts about, or do you have any about opposed
to? Obviously, buying is always paramount to renting. Mm-hmm. It's in your best interest to buy for a plethora of reasons, tax purposes, you know, et cetera. It would be in your best interest, anyone's best interest to buy. Mm-hmm. But buying has to be a good fit for someone financially. Mm-hmm. And so if someone is in a position where perhaps they had a desire or a dream to buy, mm-hmm. and they met with a lender and it was determined that it wasn't financially feasible at that time to mm-hmm. buy, then I would say to them to rent and give themselves a plan in terms of what your rental period is going to be. Is it going to be short term? Is it going to be long term? Or what exactly the time frame is in order for you to prepare yourself effectively so that you can financially mm-hmm. buy and it's in your best interest. Mm-hmm. I recommend to buyers often to speak to lenders before delving into the home buying process, because it is very important that it's a financially good fit. Mm-hmm. Finding the house is the easy part. Mm-hmm. Financially being able to afford it is the important part. And so right now, for example, we're in a period of high interest rates, and you know, rates are going up and down and fluctuating and such. So I would recommend to buyers or someone interested in or contemplating buying to see a lender, and that lender will help that person to determine if they are financially where they need to be, their credit score where it needs to be, et cetera, mm-hmm. in order for them to buy. Okay. If in fact it isn't, then that would be the only purpose of renting.
Renting.
And when you have it that serves time. No other purpose.
Okay. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. So I'm also understanding too, and you and I were talking about it previously, about seniors and their home ownership. Maybe, you know, some are losing, you know, something about flipping your mortgage and
reverse mortgage.
Can we talk about that a little
bit? Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I have a little bit of a big reputation in the city with helping seniors navigating through their home challenges. And it's a big deal here in Washington, D.C., because obviously Washington, D.C. was dubbed Capital City for a reason. Mm-hmm. A lot of our mothers, grandmothers, and family owned property here in DC for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And those people are now seniors and they have a lot of equity in their home and they owned when DC wasn't as desirable as it is now. Mm-hmm. And so because it's become such a desirable place, seniors are being approached every day for the purpose of selling their homes. And when they have rejected that idea of selling their homes, the second best to these investors was, okay, let's convince these people to get what's called a reverse mortgage. Well, a lot of people are getting reverse mortgages, not knowing the nuances of reverse mortgages. And they're absolutely detrimental, not beneficial to seniors, mm-hmm. because the way that they're set up is you're in essence selling your house to a bank. And the reason it's called reverse is because you're able to continue to live in it and the money is coming in, going out in reverse. So let's say you own your house free and clear and you got a reverse mortgage on it for a specified amount. Well, mm-hmm. they give you a checkbook and as you remain in that house, your equity is in reverse. So you may have gone into it having a free and clear house, but after staying in it for 5 years, you may now owe the reverse mortgage company $400,000 because they're charging you as if you were renting by you remaining in the house a dollar amount based on the valuation and the amount of money that you take out. I've seen a lot of seniors lose their homes because they thought that it would last forever. And unfortunately, it doesn't. It's based on the market value of the home. So if you're remaining in your home and you've taken out a reverse mortgage, the money actually calculates as long as you're in it month by month. Mm-hmm. And so when a lot of the relatives of these seniors find out about them, unfortunately, their grandmother or their family member is in a position where they're going to be in the process of losing the house. Wow. So I do not recommend reverse mortgages. And unfortunately, mm-hmm. our seniors are very private. Their family members aren't aware that they're taking out these reverse mortgages. They're not able to assist them with the process or have an attorney to look at the documentation or as such. Mm-hmm. And when I get the call, it's typically far along in the process. The senior doesn't know what to do. They've already signed up for it, mm-hmm. et cetera. So I would recommend absolutely not.
So what are the reasons that someone would want to do a reverse mortgage, especially if you own your house already?
Cash.
Okay.
Accessible cash. Mm-hmm. When you do a reverse mortgage, as I mentioned, they're giving you a specified amount of money mm-hmm. off of the equity in your house. So let's say you said, okay, I want to do a reverse mortgage. My house is free and clear. I want $200,000. So your amount that you're taking out is $200,000. They give you a checkbook to write anytime you want to write off of that $200,000 amount. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people think that, oh, okay, I'll just have this money to sit. A couple of times I've had clients who passed who had reverse mortgages. Mm-hmm. But what their family didn't know until after the fact was, even though you had that $200,000 balloon amount, if you only use $75,000 of it upon death, it is relinquished. You don't have it anymore. They can't collect it. It's lost. And that's typically in the contract of a reverse mortgage. So I would recommend to anyone whose mom or dad or grandmother or whomever is thinking about or contemplating a reverse mortgage, have an attorney to look at the contract. Mm-hmm. And if, in fact, the contract have jargon in it that ultimately is not going to be in the best interest of your loved one, mm-hmm. I recommend that they not do it.
Wow, that's some really good.
So there are other loan types
yeah.
that you can take out. You can take out a home equity line. Mm-hmm. You can take out a personal loan based on the collateral and the equity in your home that is not a reverse mortgage. I do not recommend a reverse mortgage.
Wow, that was some really good information. I'm sitting here and I'm looking at like taking in every word because when you're reading and seeing those advertisements and those ads, it looks glowing like, oh, you can have this and it's already here and it looks good. It doesn't tell you the pitfalls.
Well, there are absolute pitfalls. And I recommend to my clients and I recommend it to the DC Office on Aging mm-hmm. because I was contacted a couple of times from the Office on Aging from my work with a number of seniors and helping them mm-hmm. through the process and the issues with their homes. I suggest to families, beware of your grandmother going to the casinos and beware of your grandmother's going to bingo night, because that is where the predators are. The reverse mortgages companies, they send people to those places because they know that if your grandma's at the casino, then she needs money. If your aunt is at bingo night, then she needs money or he needs money. Those are the places where the perpetrators actually go to recruit people into getting into the reverse mortgages.
That's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
And also, too, I think this is generational about openness.
Yeah.
Especially
they're
in the
very private.
Like, I don't want anybody to know.
Believe it or not, a lot of clients defer to me. They actually send me to meet their mom or to meet their grandmother, and they end up trusting me and not their grandkids or not their kids. Because they're not willing to be candid and open with them because they fear they're going to want something or they're going
to
take my money.
Because I was about to ask you why, because
yeah.
That doesn't make sense. Like, you know, why wait until death? And we've had that in my family where after the person is gone, it's mayhem.
Yeah.
Because
the
probate
process,
all this stuff, all this owed and all these other kinds of things, and not doing, you know, insurance or not doing a will. Or, you know, we see that with stars and all that. Nobody wants to prepare. You're not going to live forever. But, you know, they put it off, not talk about it as long as possible. And then it's the people that are left to kind of clean it up. Is that what you found?
I have found that. But fortunately for district residents, mm-hmm. the mayor has in place an office that works to help seniors and protect them to make sure, to ascertain that they're not subject to these predators. Mm-hmm. And if in fact, I mean, that office is multifold, whereby also that office works with people who are at risk of losing their homes mm-hmm. because of the pandemic or what have you. But mm-hmm. there absolutely is an office in place to aid seniors as well as anyone who is at risk of losing their home or anyone that is potentially subject to any risk associated with their homes.
Mm.
And I absolutely recommend to people to take advantage of that service because it also has financial resources mm-hmm. to assist them as well.
Oh, that's wonderful. But we cannot talk about what you do for a living without talking about your amazing personal style that is impeccable. And so I want to talk about how do you make your decisions when you go into your closet about what you're going to wear for the day, the clients you're going to see off time. How do you do that? And how fun is it for you?
It's fun. It's really fun because it's interesting because I have some clients that, you know, are really into, you know, the glamorous lifestyle, if you will. And then mm-hmm. I have some clients who are just not. And so mm-hmm. when you are meeting with clients, just as the clients are assessing you, you are assessing them. And you have to gauge from that what is appropriate, what is not. And because I am a luxury home realtor, then it plays a big part in the, you know, how you present yourself when you're working with mm-hmm. a particular clientele. Mm-hmm. I service sports and entertainment. I service, you know, Redskins, Wizards, players, mm-hmm. you know, professional athletes, as well as entertainers and the DMV, you know, up, you know, from that clientele to your successful corporate CEO.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can kind of determine, you know, how you're going to present yourself based on.
Because fabulous wants fabulous.
Absolutely.
They do. You know, this is like, it's just not going to happen.
They
You're not going to pull up in an old Dodge Dart and, you know, kind of like it's not.
Showing a $2 million house.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it just like kind of schlepping along.
It has
along.
To be a fit.
It has to be a fit. Now, what's your decision-making process when you're thinking about either fashion or going out or your decision making in your brand, let's say.
So I am absolutely all about authenticity. You mm-hmm. know, having a Southern upbringing, obviously was raised by my grandmother
mm-hmm.
and having that Southern upbringing, having my mother's style, mm-hmm. my grandmother was completely against it because she was a Southern woman, you know, a stylish Southern woman, but she believed in toning it down and in just being authentic and, you know, not all the glam and such that I wanted because my mother, I'm my mother's child. And so that balanced me mm-hmm. as, you know, as I grew up and as an adult, and it taught me that authenticity and being yourself is more important than anything else. And so although I have that sense of style, having, you know, the inability to just be your authentic self is just the most important of all. Mm-hmm. And so you just base your style based on how you feel. I'm mm-hmm. sure you can relate to that. So it's how I feel.
But it took a while. It took a while. It took a while to self-acceptance. And that's why my mantra is real style starts with being comfortable in your own skin.
Because absolutely.
You can dress the outside and, you know, but if you don't feel it on the inside, we're not going to see it or you're not going to feel it. You know what I mean? And a lot of times, you know this, people go shopping and buy all of these things thinking that it's going to give them something inside. And it doesn't.
It absolutely doesn't.
It's just the outside.
So how you feel on the inside resonates on the outside. And so people that know me knows that who I am on the inside. And so it actually just kind of resonates on the outside sometimes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes, you know, you're getting more of what's in the inside. My persona, my genuineness, you know, the Southern Belle in me. I know I confuse people on social media because they don't know what to think. Like, you know, she's so mushy. She's so kind. She's so caring, but she's stylish. And so I'm kind of a mixture of many things, but all things authentic. You know,
authentic and focused.
And focused.
You're very focused. And you have to be. I mean, I don't know if there's a show or an episode that goes by that I don't mention the Mary and Barry Summer Youth Program. Mm-hmm. And that my company is privileged. We're going on the sixth year of doing it 14 to 16. And to see you as a Black woman just breaking down barriers and wonderful magazine articles and consulting. What advice or would you tell that 14-year-old person, young person, thinking about a career in real estate or, you know, brands? What advice would you give them? What would you say?
Well, piggybacking on being raised by my grandmother, you know, my grandmother, you know, born and raised in Saluda, South Carolina, you know, came to Washington, D.C. after marriage. And she worked at American University all of my life. And then my father's mother, she was an Eastern Star. She was a nurse at Howard University. And so on both sides of the spectrum, having been raised by my grandparents, my two grandmothers, if you will, both had a great sense of style. However, they had amazing work ethics. And so that work ethic that they both had was what was instilled in me. I've been working since I was 8 years old. I had, you know, it was required. And that is something that a lot of youth don't get, mm-hmm. having been raised, not having the benefit of a grandmother, if you will, mm-hmm. or, you know, an older grandmother like I had. So what I did when I worked in social services and in public service in D.C. mm-hmm. and in worked in the federal government and public service, I would always try to emphasize to youth that work ethic starts within. It has to be in you, no matter who says get up and go to work every day and or what field you're getting up and going to work in. You have to have inside of you an actual work ethic to want to go to do whatever it is that you're going to do. Mm-hmm. And so what I say to kids is, what is your passion? What do you feel good about? What makes you happy? What makes you feel free? Whatever that is what your focus should be. And that is what your interest should 100% be in. And that is where you will thrive.
It'll bring you money. I mean, I remember hearing Shirley Caesar saying years ago that your gifts will take care of you.
Yep.
Because if you're doing something that you really don't enjoy, it's going to show.
Havoc is going to occur. Your life won't be as fulfilling as it would be if you were doing what is within your gift.
Within your gift. Now, sometimes you can take those jobs to fund your dreams.
Absolutely.
Like, I've taken jobs to fund my dreams, but I knew I wasn't going to be there that long.
Well, my grandmother called that stepping stone.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I meant by you having a work ethic. Having a work ethic, you're willing to work everywhere, anywhere, do whatever you need to do because you have a common goal in mind. And your faith in operating from that premise is going to be what makes the difference in your life. You can be a barista at Starbucks today and a fashion designer tomorrow. If it's in your heart and if it's in your soul and you have that work ethic and that dream and desire to get to that place, then it's going to get you there. It's going to occur.
And that's your, like you said, like you, focused, just, and you know, sometimes, you know, I wake up and I'm like, I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't know about today. And then the gratitude comes in. And then my writing, because I believe in self-help. And I believe in having people around you that uplift you and tell you the things that you need to hear and not that you want to hear. And it is a village. But I also say, as your brand and you get more successful, your circle gets smaller.
It absolutely does.
And it should.
It absolutely does.
Have you found that?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've always had a small circle because it's just something about Southern people that they believe in small circles and they believe in, you know, living and being below the radar and they believe in reticent being, if you will. And that's just, you know, who I am. I'm very much a recluse. I'm a person that believes in living my life below the radar and private and just kind to and just trying to, you know, be as effective as I can be without being, you know,
out there.
And so you tend to get further in life and it also doesn't turn people off. Mm-hmm. And when you're a public service provider, you have to keep that in mind. You have to know, look, I'm servicing people. Some people prefer not, you know, I can't advertise I'm selling such and such house for $2 million. They may not want that to be public, you know? And so it's important to know that you have to have boundaries in life and know when you're in a business that you're servicing people that, you know, that is paramount to everything else. Mm-hmm. And that's just kind of how I've, you know, you have to live your life that way.
I enjoy the Southern part of my life because my parents are from North Carolina. I love it. I love that mixture, although I'm from New Jersey, but I love that Southern. The only people that came to our house were family. And I think my mom had two friends and my father had a friend from high school, Mr. Eddie. Those are the only people that ever came to our house. Now, they went out socially and did things, but you didn't come to our house. You know, we saw you out except for family and very, very close friends.
I actually loved the fact that both of my grandmothers were different. My father's mother being the Eastern Star, you know, the Howard nurse, and she was a amazing, successful businesswoman. My grandmother owned the grocery store that is now the Giant at O Street Market.
Oh, wow.
It was my grandmother's grocery store. She sold it and it became the grocery store and it ended up being bought by Giant Corporation. And that Giant has been there since I was a little girl. My grandmother's grocery store was there. Mm-hmm. But she was the businesswoman. My other grandmother was she worked at American University. But having them both taught me different things. Mm-hmm. My grandmother, the Eastern Star, was a party goer. She hosted parties and political fundraisers for Marion Barry and, you know, glamorous events at her house in LaJoie Park.
Okay.
And my other grandmother was a total opposite. Mm-hmm. It was Sunday dinner was an absolute at her house on Sundays. Mm. And so I evolved into that. I host parties and love to have people over and is very hospitable and like to cook. And that's the Southern part of me.
Trakel, it has been amazing talking to you. I want to have you back. How can our listeners, can we see you on social media? Can they drop you a line? How can they?
Absolutely. I have a plethora of information to share. I'm happy to help anyone, you know, in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. I also have, you know, I do business in Florida and in other states.
Okay.
And so I also have my consultant business aside from real estate. And so I can be reached at trakel.butler@att.net. rechick, T-R-E, at gmail.com. I'm also on the web. Mm-hmm. My brokerage, whereby I'm licensed, is traquel.butler@lnfbot.com. Mm-hmm. And I'm on Facebook.
Yeah, you're everywhere. I love it. Well, thank you for coming on, Traquel. And I'm sure the listeners will be in contact with you. Thank you so much for tuning in to Inside Style DC Radio 96.3 HD4. I am your host, George Worrell. And remember, real style starts with being comfortable in your own skin. And we'll see you next time. Thanks.
You've been listening to Inside Style with style expert George Worrell. For more information, visit georgeworrellstyle.com or dcradio.gov.